On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Welcome to the Audio Whiplash Podcast. I forgot what we were about to do here.
Yes. Where are we?
Rob over there.
Hey.
It's his birthday.
Who's your daddy? Oh, and you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? My summer without beer, strangely like a lot of high school relationships, over before it began. Yeah, I'm up.
I can't get by who's your daddy. What is it? June 11th. So you made it.
First day of summer is in 10 days, I think.
So you didn't get to the summer.
I didn't even make it to summer, before I. And you know what? So yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, shit. Really?
Did you think today was my birthday?
I absolutely thought today was your birthday.
I thought, what a callous bastard. We went through the whole day and I didn't get a birthday wish. Nothing. Wait, but that's all right.
I don't know that you've gotten one today.
I got a bottle of Black Bush, though.
It's true.
Not a porno, just for those of you who are.
Irish whiskey, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so.
Really? It's yesterday?
Yeah, June 10th. Same year every year. Same day every year.
I've drank half of the whiskey.
Yeah. I was out cutting grass on Wednesday. Pounded back a couple of very fine Innocent Gun lager. Man, if you haven't tried that.
Okay, so I have tried a couple of Innocent Gun.
There's a wide variety. Yeah, so the lager is it's kind of got a nice sort of piney taste, right? It's nice. I like the Innocent Gun lager, right? I'm not so big on the original, which comes in that sort of orangish red.
No, I'm not loving that either.
No.
I did try something a couple of weeks ago from the Kawartha Brewery, which I've been hot and cold on.
KLB.
And it was called Cool as a Cuke.
Okay, you know what?
And it socked parts.
Yeah, hoof. And so to me, they
That's
have...
about as generous as you could be.
They have, since the beginning, they were big. I think they were even sort of on the early part of the upswing on, you know, wheat raspberry beer.
Yeah, and so this was, as the name might suggest, cucumber... And I think it was lemongrass.
Yeah, see, that's
terrible.
That's very KLB, if you want my opinion.
Terrible. And I've had, like I said, I've had a couple things by them I haven't minded, but this was part, like, we grabbed a few, the old man grabbed a few different things to try, and a bunch of them from Kawartha Lakes Brewery, and some of them were okay, but this was just awful, to the point where both of us, you'd take a big swig, and then you'd kind of have that head shiver, right? That, like... My sister at one point looks at me, why do you keep drinking it?
Yeah.
No, you got to finish it.
Okay, so let me come back to that. Okay. Right? So I had a couple of Innocent Gun, which I like. I like to stock in the fridge now. It's kind of a go-to. Since
Wednesday?
No, I have for a while.
Okay.
Maybe about a year now I've been enjoying the Innocent Gun lager.
Right.
Good Scottish brewery there. Then I followed that up with the next day I was out for dinner. I was at an Italian, well, a Mediterranean restaurant, right? They have a little Turkish, a little Greek, a little Italian.
Sure.
Had a couple of Estrellas there, right? Which is, I believe, a Spanish beer from Barcelona. Not bad. You know, if you see it, if you're out there, you know, you want to try something different. Again, it's kind of a light, it's not bad.
Right.
Estrella. Followed that up with yesterday. I was out and around on my birthday.
He's lying. It's yeah.
he doesn't know. Stopped in at a local establishment and fired back 4 or 5 cobblestone stout.
Ooh, that's delightful.
Yeah,
beer.
Mill Street cobblestone stout.
That is fantastic beer.
So I thought, you know what? I'm actually putting a streak. Forget about not drinking beer. I'm putting a nice streak of
daily beer
of daily beers together. And thinking, who am I kidding? Right?
It's too good.
Well, this is it. And so today I am drinking Grolsch, which is another
not so local,
but another go to for me if I'm going to drink lager.
Yeah.
Again, similar to the Innocent Gun lager. I like the piney finish in a Grolsch. Right. Clean start, nice sort of piney finish.
Right.
Anyways, Grolsch.
It does the body good.
One of the, well, and I am pre-show prep, couple Harp, right? Which to me, those are your standout international lagers. If you're gonna go to
right.
Harp and Grolsch, those are my.
Well, so I have curtailed my beer, but not gotten up because I knew I wouldn't make it. I knew I wouldn't be able to go off the beer for the summer, but I've cut it back. And so, like,
yeah, me
Thursday
too.
Night, yeah, you said this is what your fourth straight day drinking beer. So,
I'm a man, goddamn.
Yeah, I'm 40.
Exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. I'm going to give up masturbation next.
Never.
You can't stop me.
Yeah.
Beer.
I'm rattled. I've got that head shiver like I did off the Cool as a Cube.
Okay,
from
let me
so, yeah, go.
Do you have it back or no?
Yeah, no, I did, but go. You go.
So I was listening to a local radio station yesterday, and they have this plug where a guy comes on from the LCBO and he talks about food pairings or whatever, and he was talking about, and I think it's called Gaza. Not like Gaza
that
Strip.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, but what it's by, I think Gaza, I think, is a type of beer, and now I'm talking totally out of my hat, so
sure.
Take it all with a grain of salt, ladies and
that's
gentlemen.
That's much different than what we normally do here.
I think Nickelbrook makes this. It's a beer, but it's infused with cucumber and lime. And again, so it's a sour beer. And so I'm not sure if Gaza or Geza is a type of beer that is like a sour beer. So again, things I think I know.
Right.
Or half-truths. Yeah. And so the guy who's the on-air personality, he's drinking it and he says, oof. So clearly they're on there to plug a product.
Yeah, he's not selling it.
And he says, you should buy this. If you love beer, you should try this. You may not buy another one. But it's definitely sour, right? And so obviously heavy on the lime.
Right. Well,
and I think he said cerise, which is French for cherry. So I'm not sure if that's a sour Shiraz. Cherry.
Shiraz.
It's a wine, but that's
yeah,
okay.
No, I know. Is it not also, though, a cherry? No? All right.
No, I don't believe so, no.
I have no fucking clue.
More things we think we know on this audio whiplash.
Yeah. Most audio whiplash.
All.
Yeah.
I don't profess to be an expert in everything.
I've been wanting to check out, for those of you local to the Ottawa area, this the Elgin Beer Project, and they claim to be all craft. You know, I don't know that you can go
that's
in there and
FT
get a bud.
In the end, not a B.
Yeah, exactly. So I went over there on Thursday, and in my cutting back, I went a week and a half without a beer, which,
woohoo,
it's cutting back for me.
Yeah,
and so
for
went
all
in
of
there.
Us.
Yeah, and so I went in there and I tried from Kitchissippi. Which is a local brewery, but they're getting bigger and bigger, and they're starting to branch out a bit. And they had something called a Bristol Milk Stout. And if you like stouts, it's fantastic. Like if you know you're not, you know, it's far stronger than or far past a Guinness, right? Like
when you say stronger, you're talking about alcohol percentage.
No,
you're
no, no, flavor. Like it's a more bitter, right? Like it's a it's not Guinness, right? Like, that's what a lot of people assume.
That's the gold standard in stout.
Right, Guinness. And it's your most well-known, and it's your most... But most people, I find, are surprised when they have a Guinness on how not thick it is, right? How not...
Well, because they look at the black, sure. Look how dark it is, and the thick, creamy head, and they go, oh, that's going to be strong, right. And it's going to be loaded down with calories.
So this is strong. I don't know if it's loaded down with calories. I'll assume so. Yes. It was outstanding. So if you're into a dark beer, give that a try. And the other one was from the Calabogie Brewery, which is also local to this area. They had a nut brown ale, which was also quite nice. And that'll probably be it until...
They do a rye stout too, I think, Calabogie.
Yeah, I think I've seen... If you're in the area and you are going to try this place out, understand that they really seem to only have maybe 6 taps, but they have dozens of other craft Ontario brewers in cans, in bottles, in whatever, right? They just don't have that many taps, which was a surprise to me. And
you like it in the can?
Yeah. What was that old button that we deleted? That insensitive
gay ye.
Yeah, cool spot. I'd go back, but that'll probably be my only beer for another week and a half or so when the Ottawa Craft Brewery or Craft Beer Festival rolls up. I'm interested in that.
And this will be my only beer until the next podcast,
which is in an hour or so. Okay, so you pull the curtain back, everybody. The last audio whiplash, number 74. Featured your brother.
Yep. I'm familiar with him.
Probably too familiar.
Big fat bastard. No, did I say that out loud? Sorry about that.
Did Matt amplify that in post-production and keep repeating it?
Echo.
Make it the text sound when he texts me. Fat bastard reporting in. No.
Incoming message from the BFB.
You people seem to enjoy it.
You people!
One of our most downloaded shows ever. I think there was some curiosity there on... Really, there's another guy out there from the same clan as Captain Blowhard?
Like a college same-sex encounter. Experimentation? No, penetration.
I wasn't sure where that was going. I was nervous about where that was going. You people seem to enjoy it. Thank you very much for all the downloads. That was awesome. One tweet that I received said, give Jeff Matt's mic and let him just push the buttons so these other two can carry on. Very, very hurtful from some people.
So what does that mean to you?
I think that meant more Jeff, less Matt. I think as we move forward, isn't that how you'd take it?
Well, if I didn't get the tweet.
No, but.
So, but if I'm just responding to what you're saying, it sounds like give Matt's mic and the buttons to Jeff.
No. Matt's mic to Jeff so Matt can just press the buttons and get these guys on the air is the way I'm pulling that.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Some of the rest of you were a little kinder. Some of you, it was also pretty clear from some of the responses. You know, towards the end of that, had you guys had a couple? Yeah, just towards the end.
It's the two I had during the show that put me over the edge.
Any thoughts looking back on that one? Should we bother having him on again? Should we?
You know what? Well, okay, I've lived with the guy all my life, so.
No.
It's old hat.
Yeah.
Right? And really. Yeah, the stories we touched on, it's really amazing that the two of us have made it to the spot we are today, right? Fairly successful in life and career.
Right.
Man, and you know what? You never know that you're maybe a hillbilly until you know, a little time, a little perspective as you look back. You and I were talking prior to the show. And you look back, and some of the best stuff,
yeah,
happens pre-show, right? Having a couple beers, shooting it around, talking about whatever. And
when I said it on that show that I had tried to, Jeff was bringing up something, and I was like, "This is going to be awesome. Stop. Let's get in the studio and let's." And then it's a different vibe a little bit, right? And I think,
well, especially for him, right? Because
yeah, he was waiting, I think, for something a little more professional, a little more.
Well, as you said, he goes, "Oh, this is how this is going to go."
Yeah, it is. That's how it goes sometimes. And
well, yeah, we're not working for the CBC,
and it's a little more fun, as we've talked about on here before, to just you come in with a plan, but if something better is happening, why get in the way? Just let it go, right? Like, we're not...
Well, a little peek behind the curtains, ladies and gentlemen, is, yeah, we start with a, you know, a skeleton,
yeah,
of topics and things we'd like to cover, but really that's it, and then I don't ever stick to it.
Color it in as you go.
Yeah, you flesh that bad boy out, however it is, and to me, I count on you totally to keep us on track, to keep this reined in, and to keep us moving in the right direction. Because I never pay attention to that.
Well, that was an exchange I had with someone online who had just listened to that show, and they said, you know, they said, you kind of let it go. Like, I am normally the straight guy, right? That whoever's in here, they're going to do whatever, and then I'll pull it back around. Well, sometimes it's just better to get out of the way and let it roll, right? If it's,
yeah,
if you think it's going well, if you think this is enjoyable, and clearly you people did, but with the number of downloads and stuff, why get in the way of that? Just ride it, right? We're not...
Ride that like it's a... Anyways.
Yep, oops. So...
That donkey member piece that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Suck donkey parts.
Suck donkey hoofs.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for checking that out. If you haven't yet... Audio Whiplash 74, you can find it in all the usual places.
Yeah, and I'm curious, if it comes down to it, what about that? What about that was enjoyable?
Yeah, that's true.
What about that?
Car crash radio.
Well, this is it, because to me, there's a lot of that you go, wow, that's just...
Well, and again, to pull back the curtain a bit, you said to me, and I was listening to it and editing it the next day, and this is pretty good. And I texted you and said that, and you wrote back and essentially said, yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, probably not. You're my best Alfredson. Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. So you just never know what's going to strike the audience in a certain way. And maybe some of you listening hated it, but you were in the minority. So sorry about your luck.
Hey, and if you did hate it, I'd like to hear from you too.
Yeah. I'll see you behind the gym after school. Yeah.
I'll see you out at the hydro box.
Nice.
I'll kick your ass like many other kids. That's what we're talking.
I've kicked your ass. Or,
yeah, no. Man, you know what? So I'm not saying it's never happened.
No.
But I'm saying it's been far less.
I'm listening to, and I should have saved this for the sports show, but it's just a quick thing. I was listening to Darren Dreger on James Duthie's podcast the other day. And apparently Dregs is known to be a bit of a short fuse, right? And he's always upset, always whatever. And so they asked him on the show, and said, how many fights do you think you've been in, like, as an adult? Because we all get it, schoolyard shit, how many?
Yep.
He goes, I don't know, between 20 and 25. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, like, as an, and what do you, what constitutes an adult?
After high school. So you've maybe.
20 or 25.
Right. Like, that's an angry man. And he doesn't look it. Like, he.
See, I've probably been in 10 post high school.
Well, it sounds like he's fucking you up.
I don't think so.
He's stayed more fresh.
Yeah. Well, I think he has to fight up a weight class too.
Probably, but anyway, that was interesting to me. There are grown men out there who wear a suit and tie to work every day in 20 to 25 adult fights. That's multiple a year. Like, that's 2-3 fights a year.
You and I were talking briefly because as I was out enjoying, man, beautiful weather in the capital, right?
You're going to have to isolate out enjoying men.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Out enjoying this beautiful weather and... you know, there's weddings and talk got to prom nights and stuff and you said to me, yeah, and how drunk did you get? How many fights did you get in your prom night? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't get any fights. And you're like, so you didn't go to prom, is what you said.
Well, that's about the only way that's adding up to me.
This is true. But anyways, neither here nor there. That's a wrap on that show. And,
thanks for checking it out.
Yep, for sure.
It's in all the usual places, like we said. So, I wanted to touch briefly on, just because, you know, we sort of danced around it a little bit before the mics were turned on. The Manchester, or the Concert for Manchester, One Love Manchester.
One Love. One. Let's get together and feel all right. No?
No.
Okay.
Whoever that
That's a scat version of
scat.
Bob Marley's One Love.
It was something.
Okay.
Yep. You said you saw the end. I had it on.
Yeah, I caught just the Coldplay on.
I had the whole thing on while I was working around the house and doing a couple of things. I'd step in here and there to look at some stuff. Unbelievable to me to see what kind of vibe was there the whole time. People screaming and having a blast and singing along and whatever, which is exactly what you would hope, I suppose. But I was more than a little surprised that it wasn't a bit more
somber.
At least at times. They brought very, very early on, I think it was Ariana. I say this in all honesty, before watching this thing, I don't know if I could have named a single Ariana Grande song. I'm sure if someone had played a song on the for me and I'd maybe have recognized it and they'd have told me, then maybe that was true, but I just don't know, right?
Cute kid, though.
No, yeah.
She's in her, I think she's in her 20s now.
Early 20s. Yeah. And so.
And now my daughter has been a fan since she sort of came up and she was.
Was she one of the Mickey Mouse Club?
I don't know if she was, but she was certainly on the Disney Channel, I think, and her videos played. And so she was sort of in that whole, last 5 years, sort of making her way up from Disney Channel girl to. Man, I saw her on the.
It hasn't yet gotten straight hoary like some of them, right? Like
okay,
Miley
but I saw,
or
I
like
saw her.
Or...
I saw her on whatever this is, Rebel Heart tour that Madonna's on.
Right,
right. They had the finale on HBO, right? And so Ariana Grande was up on stage with Madonna. Now, they didn't kiss.
Oh boy.
Right, but Madonna
that
was
whole fucking thing.
This is it. Madonna was sort of giving her the, you know, they had anyway. So she's moving in that direction. In terms of, I think everyone's got to link themselves with Madonna if you want.
I wonder how many
if you want to move from Disney to slight trash.
Oh, Christina went way past slight trash for a while.
Britney, all those.
Yeah, but Britney, I think, was an afterthought in that whole thing.
In which whole thing?
Are we not talking about the same thing where it was like the MTV Awards where Madonna kissed Christina Aguilera and then turned and kissed Madonna? Nope, kissed Britney.
Yeah. Okay. But
so it looked like one was, and then it was like, oh yeah, and then there's Britney.
Well, I think Britney was already handling that whole thing on her own anyways.
Being trashy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but I think since 1983, we're talking about almost 25 years of Madonna just being...
trashy too, yeah.
Look at that.
Well, because it's only like a year ago, we were talking about her doing some weird shit with Drake, right?
Yeah, well...
At some concert.
Yeah, well,
there.
Not only that, her signing the... whatever that was they were signing for anti... it was a streaming bill or whatever that was, and she shows up there and whips her high heel foot up in her short skirt, and
yeah.
she's just, and she leans in a lunge.
Ugh.
And you're like, hey,
yeah. So we have this concert, and at times, the early on, they said, you know, this is why we're here, and at different points, people brought it up in different ways, but it was kind of this. Like, I guess I was surprised at how many people were willing to come and play, like, two or three songs. Like, Justin Bieber is, like him or not, one of the 5 or 10 biggest musicians in the world right now.
Yeah.
Flew to Manchester from wherever he was in the world at the time to play 3 songs. Acoustic set with his guitar, and that was about, like, that was intriguing to me. Watching the Liam and Noel Gallagher fiasco, a lot of people were waiting for Noel there of Oasis after Coldplay. I had very, very, very little belief that that was ever going to happen just because, as I said to you before we went on the air, they had already lent that song. Chris Martin of Coldplay had asked if they could play Don't Look Back in Anger. And so in my mind, if you're going to have some kind of reunion after all these years, you're not giving that song away because, A, it fits what you're here for, and maybe it fits your little reuniting thing.
And it's, to me, that's so interesting, really, the whole Liam and Noel thing, right? Like, we're currently in the midst of Guns N' Roses with their Not In Your Lifetime tour, right? With Axl and Slash back together. And
are they? I believe they're the only two.
Right, but like they also were the two, though, that had the biggest sort of grudge.
Yes,
right.
When you call it a reunited tour, and really it's just you two reunited and took some backup band.
Well, yeah, and so, but it's funny that you see all these sorts of bands that get back together again, and they sort of do these sorts of things.
Well, do you not? It's
like they can bury the hatchet and go, okay, you know what?
We can make another couple mil.
We can exactly. Whereas you get these two brothers, who it's like because it's closer, the blood.
Yeah.
the feud is deeper.
Well, and Liam's burying him online afterwards. Like, oh, you can't even fucking for this, you know.
Can't even come through from Manchester.
Right. He's like, okay, chill out. Right?
Yeah, well, and as I said to you, to me, I don't care about Liam. Don't come out and do your Liam songs.
Want Oasis?
Right. I want to see. This is the moment. Yeah, you come out and you're going to do 4 or 5 songs. You and Noel need to patch it up, and you need to come out, and you need to do Champagne Supernova, and you need to do...
There was a small part of me that did see, if we're doing this, this whole concert wraps up, I guess, before Ariana on Wonderwall. Like, just because it's their biggest, you know, and you're going to have 50,000 people or whatever it was singing along. And then,
right there in Manchester.
Yeah.
And so to me, that is... Yeah. To me, that's... And it's a negative spin on I think, what was probably a...
Pretty healthy.
Well, and it's funny because sometimes the weekends for me are, I check out totally, yeah. Right? No playoff hockey this weekend, so
right.
I'm just, you know, I don't care about the NBA. And the Jays are out in the West Coast, and who?
Fuck, Seattle. 10 o'clock Saturday
Seattle,
night.
What are you doing on, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, psh, I'm not sticking up for that. it's my birthday, man.
Yeah.
Blow out the candle.
Apparently.
Yeah. But you go, where am I going with this now?
That's great.
Oh, so I'm checked out, right? I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? And so watching on the Sunday afternoon a week ago,
yep.
The end of it, and they're like, and for the, you know, the victims of the London attack. And I'm like.
Yeah, the night before.
What? Yep. I had missed that totally by 24 hours.
Right.
And so I had to go online. I'm like, what's happening here? Right. And so clearly being the. You know, not very connected.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't look at my phone. I do the odd text. I do.
Well,
the,
man, at that point, you not go. I'm sure there had to be talk. Are we still doing this, right? Like, we're about to pull 50,000 people again into another spot 24 hours after another one of these attacks.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess you have
security. The security. Well, and again,
if this is why you're doing it, you have to now. You got to go, right? You got to do it.
Man, you know what? I was talking to you just, again, before we came on, walking around downtown yesterday, and you get up to the Cenotaph, so the War Memorial,
yeah.
which is where a couple years ago, 3 years ago, I believe they had the shooting.
Yeah.
One of the honor guards here were shot and killed, and then the guy stormed yeah, a block and a half away is Parliament Hill. And,
yeah.
And was ultimately killed in the center hall there. And so you go up and they now have, and so the people I were with, and one said, oh, can you imagine? How would you feel? Would you feel less secure? Would you feel whatever having to do that, be part of the honor guard now? And yeah, and part of it is you can't change what you do, and you have to hope that what that guy went through, ultimately losing his life, but mm-hmm. That's like winning the lottery in reverse.
Yep.
Is it likely to happen again?
Right here, the exact same way, the exact same.
You hope not. Now, they do have two guards walking back and forth, white gloved, all that sort of stuff. Then they have another guy with a red beret standing out in front, wearing, who's just eyeing the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? So clearly things have changed, right? And so they're doing their ceremonial thing. We just happen to be there at 5 when the day ends. So a piper comes up and there's a contingent of other soldiers, and they come up and they bring in the soldiers who are watching. It's very formal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy with the red beret wanders off, right? Like his day's done too, yeah. Right? But man, it's, you can't change. And it's so easy to say, and this is more to your point, right? Of, do we still have the show with,
yeah,
80,000 people at Old Trafford or whatever was there.
And it's, you know, it's going to be all kids and young people again. And you, man, yeah, no, I'm sure that was a part of it. But I'm sure because it's what you're doing, it was only a blurb in a small story I read about this afterwards where they said, yeah, it was talked about. Can we still do it? But it was, everyone said, you got to go ahead, right? We're doing this. And, one of the stories that I read in the aftermath was how people were emptying out. And I'm not super familiar with the original, but there was a song by Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
And they had rejigged the words to where the chorus says, "Manchester, we're strong, we're still singing our song." And I don't remember the exact tune or whatever. But they
Is he from Manchester?
He's from England. I don't know he's from Manchester.
"Let Me Entertain You" is the only Robbie Williams tune that I'm – and he did a tune from, I think, Ariel – whatever that Disney movie with Under the Sea.
Oh, yeah, okay, Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he rewrote this song and lent it to a band called Take That, who is from Manchester. I'm not familiar with them, but I guess they're reasonably popular. And so they performed it live. Everyone's singing along. And so I guess there's video and there's pictures of when the concert's over and everyone is streaming out, there's like thousands and thousands of people singing that song, right? And instead of knowing that this is exactly when it happened at the last one.
Right, soft targets.
Right. And they're just and so there's a reporter who wrote this story who said, "I'm trying to take notes as we're leaving and I'm headed towards the, you know, transit station and where everyone is headed towards. And there's a helicopter above us that he said was kind of this reassurance, like we're being watched over, it's going to be okay. And that was important to me. I wanted to write that down as a note to include in my story. So I wrote down helicopter in my notes app, and I was approached maybe seven steps later by a cop who said, "Did you just write something about our helicopters in your phone? And that, can we take a look through your bag and your phone?" They took a quick look through the phone, took a quick look through your bag and said, "Carry on, have a nice day. You understand, we're just being extremely..." He said, "I have no idea how they knew I wrote that, but, you know, they were friendly, they were whatever, and they're just doing their job." And there's pictures coming out of, because it was so many kids, there's a cop skipping with these kids was one of these pictures that came out that was, you know, supposed to be this symbol of the whole thing. But it's interesting to me that, you know, that little piece right there about... whether or not they're reading your phone or whether or not they're zoomed in on people or what was happening there, that was interesting to me. But just, you know, I didn't worry about it.
And they're honestly, they've got to be zoomed in.
Yeah.
Right? Because to me, A, the concert is, you're not going to be in a safer place than inside that concert.
Right.
The crapshoot is?
After you leave.
How far out from the stadium do you control? And transit stations, man, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We've all been at enough concerts and sporting events that, man, those are prime areas.
So one of the main reasons I brought this up was just because I had asked the question beforehand, is this too soon? Is this – didn't look too soon. It looked like
– no, and I think that's the ultimate in, as we just touched on, you have to get back to living normal. And I know it's easy –
Far removed
to say that, but that's living it. That's people actually not just talking about getting back to normal. That's people living it. And so to me, that is the only counter to that terrorist aspect.
Yep. As we move forward here, there was something else I wanted to touch on.
Sticking in the UK.
Yeah, that's true. The Brits just completed an election. The Conservatives win.
Under Theresa May.
Yeah. And there was a record number of youth turnout. Something in the neighborhood of 75% of young people voted. And I guess that spun things a little bit out of whack in terms of what they were expecting. Now the Conservatives still won, but I believe they lost seats from what they went in. And I think they went in feeling like they were pretty strong, right? Heading in, we want a strong mandate.
We're
going to
ride the wave. This is the best time ever. We're high in the polls. And to me, that never works.
And one of the big things was they wanted to be in power as they negotiate with a strong mandate as they negotiated their exit from the EU, right? So that was one of the reasons it got called. And after that Brexit result vote, referendum, whatever you want to call it, a year or so ago to do this came down, young people were pissed off, right, in terms of feeling like this wasn't the right way to go, and they turned out in record numbers, and it really, I think, changed things in a way that they didn't
well, and as we were talking, it looks like in some internal, there's some internal party division where they talk about, is Theresa May still the right person to lead that party, and how there may be
Now, this is just obviously some people looking at this and not happy with the results, saying,
yeah, sure.
Should there be a referendum on leadership?
Yeah.
And they're throwing some names forward. And yet to me, when you do that, when you already have a strong mandate and you go, okay, I think this is the best time, you know, not for the country, but for our party to call an election, that backfires every time.
Yeah.
Right? You rarely see people go, because people are like, you know what? That's incredible expense to the taxpayers. That's a bunch of bullshit, and we don't need that. Go ahead and do it, and we'll judge you at the end of your term. Don't call an early election, because that's just – it's wasteful.
So I don't expect most of you, just like the rest of – or of Rob and I here, to be experts and want to engage in a big, long conversation on British politics. But one of the comments I saw was that if – 78% of young people started turning out in American elections, the Republicans would never see another term in office.
Right.
And that led you and I into a conversation that we stalled to bring in here on whether or not you should be working to make it easier for people to vote. And the main way of doing that, of course, would be, can you find a way to do it online? Can you find a way to do it on your phone with your fingerprint kind of thing? And I've had conversations with people in the past who feel like, do you want to make it easier for people who can't be bothered to pay attention in the first place?
And I said to you, and to me it's very refreshing because it's kind of a flip of the two of us, old guy over here, younger whippersnapper over there. And I said, that's democracy, man.
Yeah.
Right? If you have to make it easier for people to vote, not that it's hard.
To vote too, that'd be...
Yeah.
Boating, like boating.
Man, nice. I was down to the locks yesterday. Yeah. Some fantastic boats making its way down to the Ottawa River.
Boating McBoatface.
Yeah. So, and I get it. I've voted in every election since I was 18, municipal, provincial, federal.
Right.
So it's not hard. Yes, it is a commitment. You have to then go out of your house. And they always seem to be late in the fall. Man, it's crappy weather.
It's in some shitty gymnasium somewhere.
Yeah, some high school, you're somewhere, and you go, meh. But the reality is, you're at a time when people, that's not how people interact.
With anything.
Right. And I'm not like that. You are way more social media savvy and all that sort of stuff than I am. And I'm saying, yeah, we have to do it. You have to allow younger people to connect and carry on the way that they prefer to carry on.
Well, so the argument
sounds like a fucking old
just
person.
Keep on keeping on.
Man.
When the counter argument becomes, if you're not prepared to go, it's always in your neighborhood. Now, most people have jobs and school and shit like that. It's a commitment. But
8 o'clock at night, it's open till from 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And so, you know, you got to go home. You're either going to put off dinner or try and squeeze it in afterwards. But it's never far. Right? It's always in your neighborhood. It's not like you have to go across town at least for most of us in the city, I guess. Maybe in rural. I don't know how that
shakes. You got to get to some church basement somewhere.
Right. And if you're not prepared to go 3 blocks from your house to vote, were you prepared to keep up with the issues in this election? Were you prepared to understand what's happening with your economy or your social issues or whatever might be happening, especially when you get down into the municipal stuff where it's hard to follow. Like around a national election, you can't turn on the news without seeing.
Right. And you know what? Take a look at Trump.
Do I have to? Creepy orange little goblin.
That's democracy. That's apathy. Right there, baby. Well, no.
No. I understand
the opposite
what you're
saying. It's the opposite of apathy. There's a pile of people voting for Trump who haven't voted, I bet you, in other elections. They look at him and go.
No, that's true. But I think there was a drop in left-wing votership that helped contribute to him getting in. It was apathy there that just said, they're not actually going to vote in Trump. I don't have to go if I'm a lefty and vote for Hillary, right?
Right. And so, but to me, if I can online bank, seems to me I should be able to vote online.
But we both know people who can't name the current prime minister.
Yeah, okay. But we also know people who sniff glue and drink photocopier fluid. I don't know.
Do you want that person to vote?
Okay, until they tighten up the rules on voting.
I agree,
voting.
You were given a vote. Do you want that? Do you want them put that right in their pocket on their phone and go, that guy's name's funny, I'm voting for him?
Yep.
I
don't know that I disagree with you, but I'm the one who brought the counter argument, and so I'm happy.
And to me, for sure, yeah, I get it. But you know what? How long before they go, yeah, well, we can't have those people voting. We can't have
those
people voting.
No, you're right. That's a slippery.
It's a very slippery slope.
But this wouldn't be forbidding them. It's just not making it easier for them.
It's just making them have to have a little bit of, you got to pass a test,
you
got to
care
first.
No. You have to care. That's
okay.
All.
All right. You know what? And then where do you stop? You go, we also know people who have kids. And you go, how'd that fucking person ever have a child? Who let that person have a child? How'd you get out of the hospital with that kid?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you know what? Yeah, you got to take a license to drive, but you don't to be a parent. Oof. Okay? And all I'm saying is,
or apparently to be a president.
This is it. And so
forget voting.
Man, to me, there are warts on a free and democratic society.
Of course,
air quotes, people, free and democratic society.
One of my favorite quotes ever was from Churchill, who said, the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. Yeah, okay, I get
for
that.
For sure. And you go, idiot. And to me,
here's your ballot.
Yeah.
I get it. I do. I largely agree. I don't think we're anywhere close.
Well, but it's mind-boggling. Now, the Americans, I think they do have some kind of...
But if people can hack your YouTube account or your whatever, right? Like,
fraught with...
Yeah.
But, man, we are in a time, we are closer and closer all the time to... We've never been more electronically in touch.
That's right.
And
well, as you said before, we turned the mics on. If I can bank online, if we're secure enough for you to be able to handle my money and my credit,
my mortgage, my credit cards,
shit,
everything is on there.
Yeah. If we can do that, then you should be able to secure my vote, which seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Come on in, man. The water's warm. Hey. I know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an interesting.
But when you step
if
up,
if the Russians can hack one of those little fucking ballot boxes. Yeah, that seems more difficult to me, right, than hacking a...
Yeah, getting right into the
iPhone,
the Anglican
encrypted
church basement.
It's just a box. How did you hack
that? Yeah, you know what? We've all seen them.
Everybody's seen a hacked box.
For sure.
Anything else on this?
Wash that, please.
15 years ago today, as I wrap this up, okay, Avril Lavigne's Let Go album comes out. Can you believe that was 15 years ago?
Is that Scott Skater Boy on it?
Yeah. All Complicated. Right. Was on that
15 years ago today.
Yep. Sunday, June 11th. Not Rob's birthday.
Not my full day after my birthday. Yeah, no, that doesn't. Well, okay, you know what?
Great album.
Well, welcome to
I
it.
I still think things are going to work out between me and her. I don't
Is she still wearing socks on her sleeves?
I don't like, believe so. No.
Okay.
I think Chad talked her out of that.
Oof.
I don't really want to come after Chad, but. I didn't really want to come after the Sum 41 guy, but sometimes they got to get out
was
there.
Was it Sum 41 guy or was it Blink 182
no,
guy?
No, it was Sum 41. 41 guy. She only dates Canadian
right.
punk, pop punk rockers
yeah, okay.
or whatever.
I got it. So it's you want to crack at Avril.
Less
not,
so than I used
not
to.
Not a crack at Nickelback guy. Post-Avril.
I mean, it'd be a hell of a story.
Watch for it on an upcoming Whiplash, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't think Chad's sunk this low yet.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, no, there's always a drop-off. But Avril, at TallCanAudio on Twitter, private message me. We'll talk.
Look at that.
It's Audio Whiplash.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.